All right, welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. We're in Psalm 134 today, and then also Psalm 135. So let's pray and get started. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, open it up to Psalm 134. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Those who guarded the holy tabernacle at night were told to praise God. They were in essence night watchmen, not at all the most visible or the most glorious job in and around the house of God, and yet they were told to praise God. There is dignity in any work, any honest work, if it is done for God's glory with Him in mind. We can sanctify whatever work we do and turn it into a ministry by doing it the best we can for the glory of Jesus, to please Him, to honor Him, to represent Him well. Verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Very clear what Scripture teaches about lifting hands. I remember many years ago I attended a fundamental church which didn't allow people to raise their hands in prayer or in praise. For whatever reason, the preacher felt uncomfortable with it. And that's fine. People worship God in different ways. Some people are much more conservative than others, and that's okay. It's personal preference. But instead of leaving it at that, a personal preference thing, he tried desperately to prove from Scripture that it was wrong. He couldn't do it, but he tried, and he wouldn't quit. In fact, he ended up looking foolish because he tried to twist the Scriptures to fit his personal preferences. And you can't do it. Why don't you just leave it be? Imposing our personal preferences upon the Word of God is showing disrespect for the Bible. I don't care how fundamental a person claims to be. A true Christian fundamentalist is one who believes every word of the Bible and lets it speak for itself without creating dogmatic doctrine when it's not in Scripture. 3. The Lord that made heaven and earth bless you out of Zion. The Lord that made heaven and earth. The Bible says in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So God made it all. God owns it all, which means that we are His property, which means that we are eating His food and drinking His water. We are warmed by God's sun. We are breathing God's air with the lungs He has given us. We are reading, we are writing words on paper from His trees. We listen to His birds sing with the ears that He has given us. And we drink, bathe, and cook with His water. We use the eyes that He has given us to see everything that He has made. And it's good for us to be reminded that everything belongs to God, and that it is God who allows us to use and to enjoy any of it. Psalm 135, praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O you servants of the Lord, you that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. God wants praise from those who know Him and therefore serve Him. And by the way, those who do not know God through Jesus Christ, and therefore do not care about Him or serve Him, will not be interested in going to church, will not be interested in reading the Bible, will not be interested in praying or worshiping God. If a person's spirit is dead because they've never come to Christ, they may sing songs about God with their lips, but it will not come from their heart, and therefore it will not be true worship. A person either knows Jesus or they don't. Therefore, a person will either worship Jesus from their heart or they won't, depending on if they know Him or not. If you know Christ, you love Christ, and you worship Christ. If you don't know Him, then you won't do those things. This is, oh boy, probably 12 years ago or so, I was told by a woman singer, that nice Christian woman and everything. I was told by her that she thought part of her calling was to teach people how to worship Christ. She was singing to this group of people, and her and her partner, actually, and they were trying to lead worship, and she told me they were trying to teach people how to worship Christ. And I sat and I listened to that for a while, and finally I said, you know, you can't teach people how to worship Christ. You can teach them songs, but you can't teach people how to worship Christ. And furthermore, you don't need to teach people how to worship Christ. If someone is unsaved, then they can't worship Christ, and they won't worship Christ. If somebody is saved, then they will want to worship Christ, but any attempt to teach them how to do it is going to cut off the spontaneity of it and make it a matter of ritual, not a matter of the heart. If you know Jesus, you serve Jesus, and you will worship Him either by prayer, praise, or song. It can't be taught. It doesn't have to be taught. It's natural. 3. Praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is pleasant. The Lord is good. God is good. In fact, Jesus said that God alone is good. He's the only one who only and always does good. And part of His goodness is being gracious to sinners who do not deserve it. That's part of God's goodness. God's goodness is seen in many ways, but none greater than when He is merciful to those who only deserve His wrath, which is all of us, because we've all sinned. God is merciful to those who repent and receive Christ. He's merciful to the unsaved who receive Christ. He's also merciful to Christians who sin and then confess. And because He's merciful, He wants those of us who have experienced God's mercy through Christ to be merciful toward others. You say, yeah, but they don't deserve it. Yeah, and neither do we. So what? 4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob to Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure. God chose Israel to be His special people because He is good, not because they were good. The Israelites were not worthy of being God's people. They were not good enough. They were not the biggest or the best looking or the strongest or the smartest or the holiest people on earth, and yet God chose them to be His special people. You say, man, were they ever fortunate? Were they ever lucky? I don't know about lucky, but you're right, they were fortunate. And so was every Christian. Because Christians aren't always the best looking or the smartest or the holiest people on earth either. And you know what? It wouldn't matter if they were. Because God doesn't grade on a curve. His standard is absolute moral perfection, pure holiness. And yet God, in spite of that standard, receives us when we receive his Son. God treats us better than what we deserve. And therefore, we should worship him out of thanksgiving for being so good to us. And treat others better than they deserve as well. God treats us better than what we deserve. We should treat others better than what they deserve. Christians who think that they should treat others according to what they deserve, I don't know, better start reading the Bible more. Because their thinking is short-sighted and completely unbiblical. If we treat others according to what they deserve, we better watch it. Or God may start treating us according to what we deserve. Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. Treat others the way they deserve? Better watch it. 5. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. God is greater than all other gods. Which really isn't hard, because there are no other gods. Except for the ones that people create in their own depraved minds. A god is whatever people esteem above God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you know, those pretend gods work real well. They do a great job until you get in a jam, or until you die and you find yourself descending into the lake of fire. Then the foolish people who follow them realize just how useless a non-existing god is. People love their so-called God during good times, because he rubber stamps every single sin that they want to commit. He doesn't mind. Go ahead. See? But a person better have the right God. They better have the real God, because someday their little game of make-believe is going to come to a screeching halt. A person better serve the correct God and his only Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ, or they're going to be screaming from the pit of hell to a God that they didn't want in this life. And by that time, he won't want them either. We better have a God that can do anything, anytime, so that he can help us no matter what our needs may be. We better worship that one true God. And we better have the God who alone can forgive sins and save us from hell, or we are simply wasting our time with useless gods that don't exist and therefore can't do anyone any good. And I need to mention this. Today there is a whole new category of false gods. And I say it's a new category because they fall under the title of Jesus. But it's not the real Jesus. The modern Jesus is a politically correct piece of silly putty that can be molded into whatever form the twisted mind of man chooses. But it's a false Jesus with a false Christianity that condones every sin that people want to commit, including the sin of greed, including the sin of pride, including the sin of homosexuality. Everything is fine according to this Jesus. But you know what? Any Jesus other than the true Jesus who is found in the Bible is a false god. So you might as well be worshiping Baal, or Ashtaroth, or Hare Krishna, or the Easter Bunny, or one of the multiplied millions of Hindu gods, because you're not worshiping the real Jesus. You're an idolater. You're going to burn in hell if you don't repent and receive the real Christ, the one revealed to us in Holy Scripture. 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. Whatsoever the Lord has pleased, God does what he wants, whenever he wants to do it. in whatever way he chooses to do it. That is talking about God's sovereignty. I am so glad that God is sovereign, and we are fortunate that he is only and always good and gracious, because just imagine an all-powerful God who was fickle. Just imagine a sovereign God who was in a bad mood sometimes, or maybe enjoyed hurting people just for kicks. We're very fortunate to have God as God. No wonder we're told to praise him, because he is good. So easy to take that perfect goodness of God, our Creator, for granted. So, love him because he is good. Worship him because he is good. People say, I don't know why I should worship God. Worship him because he is good. Obey him because he is good. Say no to your sin nature because he is good. If anybody deserves devotion, it's him. And only him. 7. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Clouds, lightning, wind, and rain all come from the Lord. In other words, all weather comes from the Lord. All comes from God. People say everyone complains about the weather, but no one ever does anything about it. Well, if we don't do anything about it, it's our own fault. Because we can do something about it. We can pray and ask God, who controls it, to do something about it. And trust him with the results. Verse 8, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Some people have a problem with this. God destroyed the firstborn of the Egyptians. But always remember, he did it, but not without first giving them 9 warnings that it would happen if they wouldn't repent. So even when God judged the Egyptians, who were idolaters, who were holding his people in slavery, he didn't do it because he woke up in a bad mood one day. When God judged, it was because he is just. And he didn't do it until he had first offered mercy and forgiveness to the ones that he warned. They didn't accept his offers of mercy. So they themselves were responsible for the death of their firstborn. And it's the same today. God will judge sinners, but not before they refuse the mercy he offers them through Jesus Christ. So whose fault is it that people go to hell? Whose fault? It's their own fault. 9. Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. You know, God didn't just speak to Pharaoh with signs and wonders. He shouted to him. He spoke to the king through Moses, through the word of God. And when Pharaoh didn't obey God, he shouted to him with signs and wonders. And yet they still didn't repent. Pharaoh still didn't respond. God is shouting to some people today too. He's shouting, hey, look around. You are miserable. Your marriage is falling apart. Your life is falling apart. When you think about your life, it scares you. You have no peace. When you think about your death, it absolutely terrifies you. That's God shouting. He's shouting, repent, and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and the Lord of your life before it's too late. 10. Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan. When God's people arrived at the border of the promised land, the Lord destroyed the surrounding nations who refused his offer of peace and refused his people access to the land. Then once in the land, God also destroyed the wicked sinners who lived in the promised land. But keep this in mind. God did not declare war on anyone. You see, but he destroyed all those nations. Well, that's true. But those nations had long ago declared war on God. They declared war on God by their gross immorality and their idolatry and the refusal to repent, even though the Lord gave them 400 years to do it. You know, if you can still blame God for destroying those wicked people after God gave them 400 years to repent, then you're the one with the problem, not God. Anyone that stupid doesn't have the discernment to sit in judgment upon God. Verse 12. And gave their land for a heritage to Israel, his people. If you had an extra $1,000, you wouldn't give it to someone who hurt and despised you, especially if you had a child or some relative or friend that really needed that $1,000. Well, God owns the earth, and he took the promised land away from those who despised him and offended him, and he gave it to his children, Israel. His people needed a place to live. So why should God allow wicked, ungodly, impenitent, depraved sinners to dwell on his property while his children who serve him wander in the wilderness? You wouldn't allow that. And neither did God. 13. Your name, O Lord, endures forever, and your memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. The real God and the real Jesus is known in every generation, even in a world that has gone bad and is getting progressively worse. God always has a faithful remnant who know him. 14. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. In other words, he will have compassion on them. God stands up for his people, those who know him, and those who live for him. Any Christian who doesn't do what is right in the eyes of God because it may cost them something in this life is short-sighted and worldly-minded rather than eternally-minded. And that's wrong. Colossians 3:2 tells us to set our affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. God will take care of you. He'll bless you. 15. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Idolatry, as I mentioned earlier, is putting something which God has created over the Creator. And it doesn't necessarily have to be silver and gold. It can be anything. It can be anyone that is more important to a person than God. It's putting the creation above the Creator. It's putting the blessings of God above the God who blesses. It's putting things over the source of all things. 16. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. False gods of any kind cannot breathe, cannot see, cannot hear, cannot move, and have no strength because they are dead. Worse than dead, they've never existed. Doesn't take a real genius to figure out that if you're dead, you can't give life to someone who is dead or even keep someone who's living alive. Consequently, worshiping something other than the God of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ will be of no help to a person when they need it, like on their deathbed and after. False gods, including a Jesus who isn't revealed in Scripture, can't talk, can't hear, can't see, can't breathe. And if you can't do something that basic, then you sure can help others do it. So what good are they? No good at all. So people better receive the real Jesus found in scriptures. In the scriptures, or they're going to be on their own in this life and in the next life. And that means hell. And that means a lake of fire with no way out. 18. They that made them are like to them. So is everyone that trusts in them. Anyone foolish enough to make an idol, whether it's one, a physical idol of some sort, or invent a Jesus or a God so-called in their mind and worship it. Anyone, excuse me, foolish enough to make an idol and worship it is going to end up just like it, namely dead. But actually, you know, the idols have a better future than those who worship them. The idols do not exist, which is better than the fate that awaits those who worship an idol. Idols don't exist, but those who worship an idol of any kind, including a false Jesus, will never cease to exist. The idols won't burn in hell because they're not real, but those who worship them will suffer in hell forever without end. There aren't any good times in the future for anyone who rejects the Savior Jesus Christ. 19. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwells at Jerusalem. Praise you, the Lord. You get the feeling that God wants our praise? You get the feeling that God wants our worship? God not only wants it, but he deserves it. And it is right and it is fitting for us to worship him. Saved people understand that Almighty God made us, owns us, provides for us, and saves us from hell by dying on the cross to pay for our sin. Saved people want to worship Jesus. You say, well, what kind of God would need our worship? What kind of God is that? I don't know. I suppose some useless false God, but certainly not the true God and not his son, Jesus Christ. He doesn't need our worship. He deserves our worship. And we need to worship him, but he doesn't need anything from us. We need the spiritual strength that comes from worshiping the one who created us. Saved people don't have to worship Jesus. They get to worship Jesus. Don't forget to stand by this ministry, if it is at all possible. You stand with us here at Scripture Verse by Verse by your prayers and your financial support. The address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. If you're listening to this at our website, thebibleversebyverse.com, you can donate using the PayPal button, and that would be great. But please pray for this ministry. And I thank you for spending this time with me. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.